You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up, hunters are being encouraged to get their deer tested for chronic wasting disease. We'll find out what's adding to a sense of urgency this year. First, it's time for our weekly review of state news. The full state budget passed in the state assembly this week, and a last-minute airport in Wisconsin Rapids is proving controversial. Robert Menser is a senior statewide editor for the USA Today Network Wisconsin, based in Wausau, and he joins us every week to look back at some of the biggest news. Rob, good to have you back.
Well, thanks for having me back. It's good to be back.
Well, Rob, I want to start off with this story about an airport near Wisconsin Rapids, I should say. Tell us what's happening there.
Yeah, so this is sort of this is an interesting little microcosm of the way that sort of you know political debates can take shape. This is this little private airport. You know, rich people use it for their private planes or whatever. It's like a lot of these small airports that are all over the state, all over the country. The airport commission down there had asked for a bunch of money from the state to make improvements to the runways and other sort of the infrastructure of the airport, because south of Wisconsin Rapids, they had just opened this big world-class kind of golf course called Sand Valley Golf Resort. And it has just opened this year and is seen as, they're hoping that it will be a boon to the area's economy. And it has, in fact, boosted traffic to this airport quite a lot, and so they're trying to get some money. Now, this money for the airport was not included in Governor Walker's budget, despite these requests. And then late in the process, in the Joint Finance Committee, they put in $4 million for this tiny little private airport by Wisconsin Rapids. This became sort of a lightning rod. Very much a lightning rod, and was tied to the fact that the owner of Sand Valley Golf Resort is a Republican donor, and was sort of painted as a bit of cronyism in the state budget, and became a real focus of a lot of political attacks. And then in the meantime, you know, there's this sort of local folks who argue that it's actually a good, you know, a valuable use, that they really want this for economic development for the area.
And there's been reporting that there was some money allocated for this airport, but not till 2021, and then it got bumped up to this budget, and that seems like one of the things that caught people's attention.
Right. Well, I mean, yeah, no, that's exactly right. It was going to happen. They made the case that it should sort of jump the line, and then in the end it did. There are a lot of airports, and there are a lot of projects, and there's probably a lot of uses of $4 million in taxpayer funds. You could even ask the question of whether the state ought to be subsidizing these little airports in the first place. It's not, these are for private planes. These are probably not places that you or I really would use in the first place. But of course they do subsidize them. And there was this sort of, non-cronyish argument for it. It's just a case where you can sort of paint it according to your political needs, I guess.
And Rob, before we leave this, what do we know about the donations that were made by the owner of the Sand Valley Golf Resort?
Well, I mean, so he is a big Republican donor, for sure. He's a significant donor. He's the kind of guy that lawmakers can pay attention to. The resort itself is this multi-million-dollar sprawling development that is a whole, you know, they sort of, you know, set it down in the middle of Wisconsin in order to be this big draw that, you know, is written up in the New York Times and so on and so forth. They also say, though, it is significant, I think, to say that according to, the assembly lawmaker from Wisconsin Rapids area, that he did not request this in the budget directly. It probably bears more reporting about who was communicating with whom, but it is the case that this is coming from, not necessarily from this guy directly. So, you can take it as you wish, I suppose.
So is this over as far as the flap about it? Is it going forward and that's the end of it? Or is there going to be any more sort of action taken on this?
Well, so, you know, I guess they're still debating the budget, so anything can happen. Looks like it's likely to get funded, and you know, if I'm honest, it seems to me like the sort of thing that probably dies down fairly quickly. I don't quite see how this becomes an election issue in 2018, but hey, who knows? Maybe it will be.
Talking to Robert Menser right now, senior statewide editor for USA Today Network Wisconsin, based in Wausau. And Rob, earlier this week, two labor unions representing most of the production employees at Harley-Davidson say they've ended an agreement with the company. What happened?
Right. The United Steelworkers and another large union, the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers, ended this partnership agreement that had stood for 22 years with Harley-Davidson. What does it mean? You know, the workers are still there. Harley-Davidson is still producing motorcycles, and the union contracts themselves do not change. But the fact that this partnership agreement, which had been strained at various times in that 22-year history, now is dissolved, does show the extent to which workers and management there have been at odds, and it does suggest that there could be a more conflict ahead.
And what does this mean most likely for Harley-Davidson employees? Do we know?
Well, you have to understand it in the context of sort of what is going on with Harley. So the idea of a partnership agreement is that union representatives have a role in the company's strategic decision making. And the unions who spoke after the partnership was dissolved said that has not been the case. So they talk about layoffs at the company, which is definitely a thing that Harley has gone through. They talk about the fact that Harley management has taken on temporary seasonal workers rather than hiring full-time union workers. Those temp workers get paid a lot less, and obviously the unions see that as sort of a loophole to try to undercut the unions, which it kind of is. And then the other thing that really strains this is Harley's decision in May to open a motorcycle assembly plant in Thailand. The company says that plant doesn't take away any U.S. jobs, but of course, if you are working in Tomahawk or Menominee Falls or whatever, you might well be worried about seeing the company shift these functions to an overseas facility.
And from the company's perspective, something I hadn't heard about, they're saying that riders in the country here are declining ridership and that it's taking off in Thailand, so it makes sense to have a company there, a facility there.
Right, and across Asia. This is the fact that Harley-Davidson is dealing with is not as many Americans are buying motorcycles, and in fact, pretty dramatically fewer. There's been a pretty steep decline. You know, so that has led to layoffs and furloughs for employees. And, of course, you know, the workers bear the brunt of those changes as the company tries to, figure out its strategy and perhaps target new markets or try to reverse that trend in the U.S. But, yeah, I mean, that is the underlying reality is they're not selling as many motorcycles in the U.S.
And for our last story today, Rob, new reporting out shows that Milwaukee County Sheriff, former Milwaukee County Sheriff David A. Clark's around-the-clock security detail has cost taxpayers over $200,000, and it looks like that may be ending at least mostly. What's happening there?
Right, yes. Clark, yeah, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel got some records and reported these figures this week that this year, so far this year, the taxpayers paid this amount, $226,000 for security. Now, you know, Clark has sort of styled himself as a kind of ultra-right-wing figure, unconditional supporter of President Trump, and he's gone on cable TV, made a lot of outlandish claims and been in a lot of controversy. And so it is plausible, and the department demonstrated that there were actual threats made on social media, some made directly to the department, that they took seriously and employed a lot of people to try to protect Clark. They said that deputies put in more than 6,000 hours watching Clark's house. And yeah, they say it's discontinued now. I guess for several reasons, we can all hope that it won't be necessary again.
And we leave it there. Rob, we'll talk to you next time.
All right. Thank you.
That was Robert Menser, senior statewide editor for USA Today Network, Wisconsin, based in Wausau. He's with us almost every Friday to look back at the week's biggest state headlines.